I'm going to read to you this morning the whole book of Paul, his letter to Philemon. We have it as 25 verses. It's just, in case you need to find it, it's just after Titus and right before Hebrews. The epistle of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee to that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my own account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. Now there is, in this small book, there is a plethora of divine truth.
Amen.
I thought about saying it does not compare with the Paul's epistle to the Romans. And that's true in the sense that it does not have great explanations of profound, glorious doctrines. And yet, at the same time, this small personal letter to a man named Philemon has within it the truth of salvation by grace, and what it does for those who are saved.
Amen.
This is probably the most personal letter written by Paul that is included in the divine canon. The most personal.
Yeah.
It is basically just a personal letter from Paul to this man named Philemon. Yes, he sends a couple of hellos when he begins.
Yeah.
And he sends a few greetings from those that were with him. But the letter is to one man, a man that Paul describes here in verse 1 as our dearly beloved.
Yes,
dearly beloved. And a fellow laborer.
Yes.
This thing of the gospel is not just something we do every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Or every Sunday morning and Sunday night and a midweek service sometime. This is actual labor in the Lord. Because gospel preaching and trying to preach the gospel to at least the world at which we're acquainted, what we're the people that are around us, is an everyday endeavor.
Yes, sir.
It's an everyday endeavor. Think about this. Paul described that man, dearly beloved. It's one named Philemon. Now, just a few things about him. This is one that cannot be proven from the scripture itself, but as many who've studied history and those things seem to say that Philemon seemed to be a man of some monetary substance, and there's some reasons why you might think that. He clearly owned at least one slave. That was Onesimus. But Onesimus had abandoned him. But a few things we do know. The church gathered in his house. That's in verse 2.
Yes, sir.
Now, notice that, and you know this here, but there are some who don't. He did not have a building inside of his house.
No. There you go. Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go.
Most people today, when they talk about the church, they're talking about buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not even sound Greek.
Exactly.
And neither is it the truth of Scripture by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
The church is people.
Amen.
The church is people. And I'm not trying to be overly bearing here, but God help us to start using the right language. Because the church that is in thy house, what's he talking about? The saints gathered at Philemon's house. That's where they got together and worshiped. The gospel was preached and they sang songs and they prayed and they fellowshiped together. The church gathered in his house. The third thing is this, his faith and love was well reported. You'll see that in verse 5.
That's right.
As one said to another years ago, I believe that person's well saved.
There you go.
I believe that person's well saved. Faith and love being reported. Now, it wasn't reported by everyone around them, because there were unbelievers who could have cared less about what they believed. But amongst the assembly of the saints, this man had a reputation of this. He loves God's people. He loves Christ's gospel. He supports Christ's gospel. According to Paul in verse 6, he says, Philemon honored Christ in his walk. That's what he said. He honored Christ in his walk. I know there are those who accuse us of not being concerned about walk, but we are concerned about walk.
Yes, sir.
I don't walk as I should. And neither do you.
Yeah, you're right.
But I tell you what. By God's grace, we walk in every good work that God before ordained that we should walk therein.
Amen. That's it. Yes, sir.
And not one more. And not one less.
Amen.
And I will drop that right there, because that's just the way it is. Not only that, Philemon, Paul says in verse 7, gave to the necessity of the saints. You refresh their bowels. That's what he's talking about. Philemon used his resources, and they evidently were considerable because Paul mentioned it. It wasn't just a dollar bill here or there. This man gave of his substance for what? For the necessity of the saints. You've refreshed the bowels of the saints. And sixthly, in verse 21, when Paul gets near the end of this personal letter, Paul knew Philemon obeyed the truth and was not slothful, and would even go beyond what Paul was pleading with him to do. Doesn't he? That's what you could find. You could find those things in this letter. And you could find much more. But this letter is not about a pat on the back for Philemon.
You're right.
Is it?
You're right.
Now, let me tell you something. We need to encourage one another.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And Paul Mahan and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. And you get to that place, well, I don't want to make someone proud. They're already proud.
Exactly.
We're already proud.
Yeah, you're right.
But we need to encourage one another because this is a labor.
Exactly.
It's a labor. It's a battle. Some places when Paul writes some epistles, he calls men who stand preaching the gospel and others who do specific things fellow soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Fellow soldiers. But this was not about just a pat on the back. It was no simple correspondence. How are you doing, Philemon? How's things going down at your house? Was it? That's not what it was about. Philemon owned a man. And you know what I said? I said Philemon owned a man named Onesimus. That's just the facts. And I'll say that because that's the facts. And just leave that right where it is. That's the way it was. Philemon owned a man named Onesimus. But Onesimus had wronged Philemon in some serious way. You see that in the first part of verse 11. And he mentions it again in the first part of verse 18. Now, we are not told specifically what it was.
No.
And aren't you glad?
Exactly.
Aren't you glad? Do you want the apostle? Do you want Joe? Do you want Walter? Do you want anyone talking to someone else about the specifics of your failures?
No.
Do you? Paul was being gracious here.
Yes, sir.
He loved both Philemon and Onesimus equally. And he was not about to bring up the particular details of Onesimus' problem.
You're right.
Was he?
No.
That, my brothers and sisters, is Christian love. And I will mention it again. Love covers, not hides.
Yeah, exactly.
Not seeks to deny that wrong has been done.
Exactly.
But love covers a multitude of sin. So here's one thing that lets me know when I'm not loving like I should. When I start speaking of one of you all's particular problem.
There you go. Yeah, that's true.
Do you hear what I just said to you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Do you hear what I just said to you?
Yeah.
We ought to talk to one another honestly about one another, but some things are left where they ought to be.
Right.
Covered up.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you hear what I say?
Yeah.
We all know what we are.
Exactly. That's it.
We all know what we are. God brought us to that understanding. At least to some degree, we don't need to bring up the details. God help us. God help us. I have that kind of love, but Joy, don't always show it. God help me to try to always show it. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm getting at? But think about it. Onesimus had bit the hand that fed him. Philemon took care of this man. The whole indication of who Philemon was, and that's why Paul expresses this, not to brag about Philemon, but Philemon knows he had not mistreated Onesimus at all. I'd say Onesimus probably had it a whole lot better in Philemon's household than he would have had on his own.
Exactly.
And I'm not making up for anything. I'm not going into something. That's just the way it is. Now, many go and say, well, Onesimus probably did this or that. I don't know. But whatever it was serious enough that Onesimus fled to Rome.
Yep.
Now, we're not told the details, but you know what happens when you mess up.
Yeah.
Cook the books. Stick a little in your pocket when you shouldn't have. Huh? Taking more than what your boss or whatever said. It's like, I got to get away from this. I've got to hide myself. Keep this under wraps. I can see. And I don't know whether this is all the fact, but I can see Onesimus fouling up royally, as we say.
Oh, yeah.
He done something bad.
Yeah.
And he says, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he flees, kind of like Jonah. He fled from the presence of the Lord. And I just think maybe he thought Rome would be a good place to go. Lots of people.
Yeah.
Plenty of places to hide out. Things to do.
Uh-huh.
He may have had a pocket full of money. Who knows? You know, we don't know. But he had sinned against Philemon. He'd done Philemon wrong. And he fled to Rome. But little did he know, he was fleeing right into the hands of God Almighty. Because there was a man named Paul locked up in prison at Rome. Ain't that glorious? Onesimus had bit the hand that fed him and he fled the Rome. To Rome, but is not this the way we were toward our God?
There you go.
He owns us.
Yes, sir.
He owns every human being that's ever been or ever will be on the face of this earth. We are His property.
Exactly.
And he feeds us and clothes us. Even sometimes gives us certain pleasures to enjoy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And we bite his hand.
Exactly.
And we take from him. We're not even good prodigal sons sometimes. The father gave the prodigal son his inheritance and he wasted it. Sometimes we steal the father's inheritance. Don't we? We bite the hand that feeds us and then we seek to flee from the very God that took care of us all this time. Onesimus, my brothers and sisters, is you and I by nature. And this is a real letter. This is not a type. This is not a picture per se as Old Testament sacrifices. This is a real life account.
Yes, sir.
A real life account. And it's just, I will not have near enough time to go into all that's here. Some of the things that just you wouldn't even think of. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. There's another man locked up. What? And Paul doesn't call him a prisoner of Rome. What would we write if we were locked up and writing back?
Yeah.
Well, the state's got me locked up.
There you go.
State, I'm locked up under the power of the state of West Virginia. No, Paul says, I am Christ's prisoner.
Amen.
That's the way we ought to talk.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You see? That's the way we ought to talk. But that's not my message. Again, Onesimus had bit the hand that fed him and fled to Rome. Moreover, but even more, this letter is not about legalities. This letter is not about human jurisprudence.
Exactly.
This is not Paul trying to make sure Roman law is followed. Although Paul was not trying to disobey Roman law.
No.
Here's the point. Philemon owned Onesimus.
Yes, sir.
But there's something more important than that. This is a spiritual matter.
Yes.
Here's my message. Here's my title. God has converted Onesimus.
Amen.
And that changes the whole deal.
That's right.
Don't it?
Yes, sir.
Huh? That changed the whole deal.
That's right.
If Onesimus needed to be returned to Philemon by law, then Rome could deal with that.
Yeah.
That's not Paul's purpose.
Exactly.
That's not what he's been called for.
That's right.
To keep the law, make sure I'm doing everything the law is supposed to, or everybody's supposed to be doing everything the law says. That's not what Paul's dealing with here. It's not about human jurisprudence. God Almighty had converted Onesimus. And Paul said, now there's a job to do.
Exactly.
Isn't it? There is a higher law.
Yes, sir.
There's a higher law. And that law deals with love.
Amen.
That law doesn't even deal with necessity. Law demands necessity.
Okay.
But Paul says, this is about love.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that what he says? This is about love. You see, it's not about us trying to change good or get good laws, not as gospel believers, not as a local assembly, not as a pastor here or Joe a pastor. We're not here to try to have the government make good laws or have the government get rid of bad laws.
Exactly.
There are good laws and there are bad laws, and we leave that in God's hands.
Yes, sir.
When you go to the polls, if you do, you vote before God according to your own conscience. But I'm not here to tell you how to vote.
Exactly.
I'm telling us how this is how we conduct ourselves in this world because we are Onesimus's that's been converted.
Amen.
That's it.
That's what we do. That's what we deal with. Everything else will fall in its own place. Everything else will fall in its own place. God has converted Onesimus. Remember, this is no type. This is a real life happening. This really took place, Mason Lilly, about 2,000 years ago. And Paul sat down and it says, if you read the little caption at the bottom, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus. And some historians say that was probably right, that most of the time Paul had someone else write out the letters as he spoke to us. Say, okay, write this down. But you could tell at least in one place Paul took over and he said, I wrote it with my own hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I can see Philemon unrolling that thing now, looking at it and saying, and remember, Onesimus has carried this letter in his hand.
Yeah.
Going back to Philemon. And I'm figuring Onesimus says, thank God for this letter. Mm-hmm. Huh? You think he would have really enjoyed going back to Philemon without that letter?
You got that right. Yeah.
Huh? Think about that now. But he's got this letter that he's wrote maybe, we don't know for sure. I don't know if that caption, Joe, is part of the inspired canon or not. I don't think it is, but no matter what, Even if it was, Onesimus is right, and Paul said, I have to stop right there. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. And Philemon run rolls that thing and says, well, that's only, I figure he knew what Onesimus' writing looked like.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he gets to that part and the writing changed. That's Paul writing.
Yeah.
Onesimus didn't make this up.
Exactly.
This is not a cover story.
Exactly.
Some people use Christianity as a cover story.
There you go.
We've had them right here in this assembly. And I don't say that angrily. I say that with a broken heart.
Yeah.
See, I told you there's so much here. Because you know there's more to it than just what we read.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
And the reason we're not told all the details is because all details vary here or there. But there are certain things that are always the same.
Yes, sir.
You see, you get what I hope you get what I just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the particular details of any certain circumstance may vary. But when it comes to Christ and His saints and His gospel and the love of that, there's always a strict black and white truth.
Amen.
And that's what Paul deals with.
Amen.
What really matters. Amen. Because your circumstance may vary from mine.
Yeah.
But Joe, we're all Onesimuses.
Exactly.
We all bit the hand of our owner.
Yes, sir.
And we fled from him.
Yes, sir.
This is no type. This is God's grace.
Amen.
And it illustrates God's grace. Now I'm going to give you five things this morning. I'll try to be fairly brief. On two of them, I'll give you a little more details than others, but just five things this morning. All of that other was just leading up to these. Just consider this, my brothers and sisters, of the sovereign power and wisdom of God's purposed providence. Verse 15, for perhaps, and when Paul says perhaps, he's not saying maybe this is true, maybe it's not true. Even though Paul is writing, and I don't even know if Paul's sitting there, or Paul is, whatever, Paul's writing, Onesimus is writing for Paul. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get at is Paul, when he says perhaps, I don't know that Paul's thinking, okay, what I'm writing is going to be an inspired canon one day, and I've got to get this exactly right. That wasn't the way it worked. He just sat down, Mason, and was having penned a personal letter to a beloved brother in Christ, a fellow laborer named Philemon. And Paul doesn't know everything.
That's right.
And Paul does know men, though.
Yes, sir.
He does know men, though.
Oh, yeah.
He said, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season. But here's why. That thou shouldest receive him forever, and not as a servant, but above a servant. In other words, he's saying God Almighty was in this, Philemon.
Exactly. That's right.
Now, I'm going to say something I know will shock some people. Philemon and Onesimus both. I know Philemon did, but Onesimus probably as well knew Paul prior to this Rome meeting after he fled. He was a slave in Philemon's house. Philemon and Paul had met one another, knew one another personally.
Yeah.
I figure Onesimus had heard Paul the Apostle preach.
Yeah.
And yet, what happened? No fruit.
There you go.
Was there? He ended up doing Philemon wrong.
Yeah.
Think about that. But is that not the way it is with us? We heard the very truth of God. But then, God in His own wise sovereign purpose lets us make that one or two mistakes that just really seems to bring the world crashing down.
Yes, sir.
And we run from God.
Yeah.
And somebody says, why? Because that's just the way God ordered. Why did they go to Babylon?
Exactly.
Why not Syria?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But God said, Babylon's where you're going. Now you're going because of your sin, but I'm the one who's going to drive you there.
That's exactly right.
Now I'm the driver, but now Nebuchadnezzar's going to be the one with the spears.
Yeah.
But I'm the driver. Joe, I'm glad you preached on that. Give me a little more fire here. But do you see how God Almighty even used the sin of this man to drive this man both inwardly and outwardly, right to the very place he needed to be.
Yes, sir.
And it's kind of odd. It don't tell us this. But how is it that Onesimus heard Paul preach when Paul's in prison? Maybe Onesimus got in trouble in Rome.
There you go. Exactly.
Maybe he gets locked up in it. Isn't this a coincidence?
Exactly.
He gets locked up in the same cell or the same prison where Paul the Apostle's at. And he probably, I'm thinking, if that happened, I know that voice.
Yeah. There you go.
That's Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That's Paul.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the guilt? That if that these are the circumstances, can you imagine? If these are the circumstances, can you imagine the guilt that began to grip his soul? And then maybe even the fear. Whoa, what if Paul finds out I'm here?
Yeah.
Paul might hammer me. Mm-hmm. Paul might expose me. Paul might tell them who I really am. Huh? Mason, I don't know if that happened or not, but something along that line happened, did it not? Something like that happened. But I could just see Paul saying, uh-oh, I've heard about Onesimus. And here he is.
There you go.
Here he is. Oh, glory!
Yeah.
Here he is! So what's he do, hammer him? No, he preaches the gospel to him. How do I know that? I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He talked about gospel preaching. You say, well, I don't think that's what that means. Well, you're wrong. I've been doing this long enough and reading this book long enough. God's given me enough wisdom, though. That's exactly what Paul was talking about.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I tell you, take my word for it.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Consider it. The sovereign power and the wisdom of God's purpose, providence. Onesimus had wronged, sinned, and fled. And God, what did he do? Joey drove him right into the arms of Paul.
Exactly.
And isn't that the way it is with us?
Yeah.
The very thing we despised.
Yeah.
And we gritted our teeth against. And we said, I will do my own thing, though. Maybe that's right, but I'm going to do my own thing. And then all of a sudden your world comes crashing down.
Yeah.
And God drives you right into the arms of someone who spoke to you of the glories of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that began to rock your world again.
Yeah.
For the better.
Oh, yeah.
For the better. Secondly, consider this, my brothers and sisters. Oh, the love of those converted to Christ for those converted to Christ.
Amen.
You see, this thing is real. It's not a put-on. Amen. I was in religion at one time, so-called Christian religion. And we said, oh, I love you, love you, love you, love you. Mm-hmm. Handshakes, hugs, but all it took. But when we go home, we're like, did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear about so-and-so last week? Or, Henry Mahan mentioned this one time. You remember being in some of those meetings way back yonder? Start playing 15 verses of Just I Am, As I Am, and three or four people go forward, and everybody's sitting back there really thinking, I wonder what they did this week.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
You ever been there? That's what that kind of thing. All that coming forward and prayed because you backslid this week is nothing more than a papal booth, you go in to confess your sins to the priest without the curtains around it.
Amen. There you go.
That's all it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Just without the curtains around it and the little screen that you stand sit behind or whatever. Joe, you'd have to tell me about that. I don't know if you went to confessional much or not. You said you wasn't a good Catholic. So.
I wasn't very good.
You understand what I'm saying? Look at the love. Look at verse 11. Look at it. Which in time past was unprofitable. To thee, unprofitable. He don't deny that. But he don't go into details, does he?
Right.
But, oh, what a huge three-letter word. But now, profitable. Profitable. So this lets me know he's talking about another kind of profit. He ain't talking about just money now, is he?
Yeah.
But now profitable to thee and to me.
Amen.
You see it? Let me give you this other verse, 15 and 16. I read it. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. This is God at work, Philemon.
Yes, sir.
Not now as a servant. So he's saying, Philemon, this has a whole lot more to do than just legal matters.
Exactly.
Human jurisprudence.
Yeah.
But above a servant, a brother beloved.
Yes.
Especially to me. But how much, you think especially to me, so therefore, you ought to. That ain't what he said, is he? Especially to me, but how much more unto thee? Both in the flesh, Mason, and in the Lord.
Amen.
We are profitable to one another in both venues.
That's exactly right.
You see what I say? In both venues. Isn't that, I could preach on that for weeks. In both venues. Oh, the love of those converted to Christ for those who have been converted to Christ. Here's the third one. Consider this, my brothers and sisters. The absolute necessity of God's ordained means. Paul says, I begot him. What? Paul, now wait a minute. You're leaving Calvinism a little here, Paul. No. 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 Let me tell you something. Gospel preaching, and God's ordained that certain people be the individual or individuals to tell other certain individuals. God's ordained it that way. Who you heard the gospel from, God purposed that before the world began.
Exactly.
And that gospel preaching is just as vital as your election in Christ before the world began.
Yes, sir.
Because all of that was in lieu of what takes place with us personally in this world, in this life.
Amen.
If we despise, belittle, or whatever word, adjective you want to use, if we despise the means, you despise God.
That's true.
Now that humbles me. Well, I know a lot of doctrine, and I found myself getting one-sided in doctrine before. And that don't help.
You're right.
That don't help. For instance, regeneration is a work of the Spirit only. So since that is true, why do I have to sit around and argue about it and debate the doctrine of it? Come on now. What is the responsibility of us Onesimuses, us Pauls, us Philemons, speak to one another about the person and work of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You see how important it is for us?
Amen.
You see? Mason, he's put this treasure, that's gospel preaching, declaring Christ, in earthen vessels.
Yes.
So now you really know. Okay, yeah, a guy comes along, he plants the seed. Another guy comes along, he waters. But God gives the increase.
Amen.
And the one that plants and the one that waters, they're nothing. But their planting and watering is not nothing.
Exactly.
Don't see, that's where you got to be careful. I'm nothing. But what I'm doing, Joe, is everything. Because it's a part of God's sovereign purpose. His ordained means. Look at it. Here's another one. Look at this. Let me find my spot here. Verse 22. That's it. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. Paul was hoping, had this desire. He could get let out of this prison. Look, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. Get me a lodging ready. Get me a room, some clothes, maybe a little food. That's what Paul's talking about to Philemon. He knew Philemon had done it. He'd done it for a long time, Joe. Get me a place ready, Philemon. Why? Plus your prayers. That astounded me when I read that the other day. Now, is Paul saying, I moved God? No. He's saying God moves us, and He's pleased to even use our praying for one another. That's how important it is. That's a means.
Amen.
Well, but God's sovereign. What's going to happen is going to happen. Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
What ain't going to happen is not what's going to happen, or it wouldn't be what's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Even a philosopher ought to know that. Right? A little kid probably knows what's going to happen is going to happen. What's not going to happen is not going to happen. But that's not the point. God has ordained means. Let us rejoice in being given the privilege to engage in those things. But you know how many people profess to be Christians and say, well, I've got to have my evening prayers now. It ought not be that way. Should it? It ought to be the outpouring of our hearts in love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and our absolute trust, knowing God, if you don't do it, it won't get done.
Amen.
Right? It won't get done. The absolute necessity of God's ordained means. And there's others I could go on through here. Sometimes it may be locked up in prison. I'm sure Paul would have rather been somewhere else. Don't you think so? But he knew God had put him there. And I know Onesimus wanted to be somewhere else. But when he did whatever it was, he took off, evidently. And I could just see him thinking, Rome, that's got to be glorious. Probably never seen Rome before, I don't know. But you know what? I'd go party down. Have me a good time. Free, I'll be free. Now, not really free. He thought he was free, didn't he? But what's God do? He uses certain means. Well, a horse caravan's coming this way, and Onesimus, well, I better turn that way because I don't want them to see me. And he goes this way, and Mason, every street he went on was ordained of God means to put him right exactly where he was supposed to be. Huh? Isn't that amazing? Number four. Think of this, my brothers and sisters. The power of the gospel to convert the soul. He was unprofitable. Now he's profitable.
Amen.
Do you see that? Do you see that? Verse 13. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul said, as far as I'm concerned, I'd just soon kept him here.
Exactly.
And he could have been working for me. Helping me.
Yes, sir.
I should say working for the Lord. Helping me in your place.
There you go.
Isn't that what he's saying there, Mason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But without my mind, I wouldn't do anything. You see what he's saying? He didn't show up because of the law. Did he?
No, he didn't.
Did he?
No.
He said, but without thy mind, I would do nothing. That thy benefit should not be made, not be as it were of necessity, but willing. How many times did we do some stuff because it's of necessity and we think it was our will because we willed that? You see, Paul makes the distinction here, don't he?
Yeah.
Hmm? See, true willingness is when you do it and you don't have to. You see what he's saying there?
Yeah.
And see, I said, there's another 6 months preaching right there. Power of the gospel to convert the soul. Verse 15, read it again. Perhaps he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever, but not as a servant, but above.
Amen.
A brother. Beloved brother. You would receive him, Paul goes on to say. Look. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself.
Amen.
This man had wronged Philemon. Probably stole from him or something.
Yeah.
Did something wrong. Hurt somebody in his house. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was bad. And Paul said, you receive him just like you'd receive me.
Yeah.
If you'd give me a hug when he shows up, and you read this letter, you give him a hug just like it was me standing there. Shake his hand. Give him a holy kiss. Isn't that what Paul's saying, Mason? The power of the gospel. And he's talking about Onesimus. He's saying, I trust him.
That's right.
Is that not what Paul's saying to Philemon?
Yes, sir.
I trust him. Now, I don't think this was some flash in the pan.
Exactly.
Oh, how I've seen and fed fire to flashes in the pan.
Yeah.
Oh, get them baptized. Got to get them in the water. How often I've done that, and as soon as they come out of the water, it ain't 2 or 3 weeks, they're gone.
Yeah.
Huh? No, sometimes I keep them out of the water. Well, I know that may shock the Campbellites. But you know what Paul said? Christ didn't send me to baptize.
Exactly.
He sent me to do what? What did he say he sent me to do? Preach the gospel, and I'm glad I didn't baptize but just a handful of you.
Exactly.
But you're sitting around bragging about who baptized you. Who was preaching? Even who was preaching? That's God ordained that.
Yeah.
What are they but men by whom ye believed? Now that's what he said. But that's God's ordination, not ours.
Exactly.
I mean, if I could pick and choose who I would convert by my preaching, Joe, everybody I cared for would be converted. It don't happen that way, Mason.
No.
Don't happen that way. Oh, the power of the gospel to convert the soul. True gospel preaching, when God Almighty visits you, Joe, like you preached, it changes you.
Yes, sir.
That's my fifth point. Oh, what an actual example of, and many illustrations of, the reign of God's grace in salvation.
Amen.
Now, sometimes men profess it and it's not real,
yeah.
But it'll manifest itself eventually.
Amen.
And even if it don't, in the end, God knows them are His.
Amen.
And he tells us, Paul told Timothy, he said, and let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't lie on God.
Yeah.
Don't be dishonest. Don't walk unrighteously. Honor Christ. Believe his gospel. That's what he's teaching.
Amen.
Think of all this example. Think about it. A spiritual birth. And then we talk, I begot him. Somebody's begotten. Now how much did you have to do with your first birth?
Exactly.
Nothing. You had no choice in the matter?
Nope.
You couldn't choose who your mommy was, who your daddy was, where you'd be born, what your search. Nothing!
Amen.
It's not your choice.
Exactly.
It's God's choice.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. It's right here. It's in this book from cover to cover.
Yes, sir, it is.
Genesis to the book of the Revelation.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual birth. It's divine representation. Look at it. Whom I sin again, that thou receive him that is mine own bowels. He's a part of me now. We're part of the same body. Paul says he's a gut and I'm a gut. Now, that's not exactly what Paul was getting at, but you know what I'm saying there? If you receive me in your bowels, that's the way they used to talk about loving you with all the heart, love in the bowels of mercies. He said, you receive him just like you would me.
There you go.
It's divine representation. You see, we're all a part of the same body.
Exactly.
Christ doesn't have many different bodies. He has many different local assemblies, but all of those local assemblies over the whole face of this globe is all one body.
Yes, sir.
We should receive one another that way. That way. Thirdly, it's obedience constrained by love, not law. Isn't what he said? Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly.
Amen.
And he goes on to say, Philemon, I believe you'll do this.
That's right.
Because your reputation precedes you.
Yes, sir.
You've done this before for others, I'm sure. Don't you think? Well, we're all Onesimuses in some way or another.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, everybody gathered in Philemon's house, he knew they're sinners just like I was.
Exactly.
Huh? Isn't that good hope for Onesimus?
isn't that
good hope for... Are you an Onesimus?
Amen.
That's the question.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about whether you're a Philemon yet or not. Are you an Onesimus first?
There you go.
Because Philemon was an Onesimus of some sort before he became the Philemon Paul knows now.
That's exactly
now, do you get that deep doctrinal statement?
There you go.
Huh? But that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth. And here's another one of this. What a example and illustration of the reign of grace. The reign of grace covers a multitude of sins. I already mentioned that to you. Paul didn't say, oh, boy, you've got to watch him, though.
Yeah.
Now, he did that. You know, twice burned. That's my fault. Paul said, that's back yonder, and we don't even mention it.
That's right.
It happened. Yeah. We acknowledge it happened. But, Mason, we're not going into details.
That's right.
You see that? I could see me now writing a letter like this, and I'd be, okay, well, he did this to you, and he did. So you better watch this, and you better watch that. Huh? What Paul was doing, was it?
Yes, sir.
True love. Oh, how that makes me see how shortcoming I am.
Yeah.
True love covers a multitude. My wife and I, we don't put up big religious verses and stuff, but we do have one plaque concerning when we were married, our date, and that helps me out on our anniversaries. It's sitting right there where I can see it. But there is a quote there. Love covers, not denies.
Yeah, exactly.
Not tries to self-justify, but love covers a multitude of sins. That's why if somebody comes to me and says, well, did you hear what Joe did? I pray God, I say, I don't care what Joe did. I don't want to hear what Joe did. And that's the way we're to conduct ourselves with one another.
Amen.
Every day, not just on Sunday when we show up here all holy and ready to worship.
Exactly.
Right? Here's another one. It makes enemies to be more than friends.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Onesimus was an enemy to Philemon.
Yeah.
By law, Onesimus probably could have gotten into some big trouble. We don't know. Mason, we're not even told any of those details. But here's the point. True saving grace, free reigning grace, makes enemies to be more than friends. You receive him as a beloved brother. Here's the sixth one. It actually changed Onesimus. I mean, it's a real change, folks. This ain't just a starting to believe some different doctrines. I know, sadly, I'm afraid, let me put it that way. I'm afraid I know people, they've just changed doctrines. Or they just got the right doctrine now. And they'll staunch in that doctrine. But it don't affect their lives at all. This affected Onesimus' life.
Yes, sir.
It affected Paul's life of how Onesimus was affected.
Yes, sir.
And it affected Philemon's life as a case of what Onesimus had been affected. And it affected all three of them and everybody else mentioned here. And it's affecting us today.
Amen.
Today. I mean, if you can read this and you just see, well, boy, what a letter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for you. I'm talking about just a you small group right here. Now, if you can read this and it don't, I'm not saying you got to cry. I don't mean that, but it don't drink, you say, oh, God, thank you for your grace, the grace that Christ showed to us. And the grace that you enable us to show to one another. That don't affect you. You just don't know the grace of God yet.
Exactly.
I care about you, but you just don't know it yet. It changed Onesimus. And second, and last of all, number seven, it's substitution.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, I like this.
Yes.
Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee, and remember, he had wronged him. This is not an if of possibility.
Yeah.
It's just the if of I'm not going into the details of it. That's what he's talking about. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught. Oh, isn't this the glorious thing? Put that on my account.
Amen.
I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes, sir.
Folks, that's what Jesus Christ did for us with the Father. We wronged him, and we owe him our very souls in hell forever. And Jesus Christ told the Father, they've wronged you. They owe you their very soul. Therefore, he willingly, lovingly, compassionately, mercifully, what? Was made, his soul was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. In him. Paul said, whenever Onesimus shows up with that letter in his hand, he said, you lay a hold of him just like you lay hold of me.
That's right.
And brothers and sisters, by God's grace. Now, he's done it already now. But we'll experience it in its fullest extent one day. And when we enter into glory, whether it's by death or whether it's when Christ returns again, we will be received fully by God. Jesus Christ having paid all our debt.
Amen.
And God the Father will embrace us just like he embraces his holy, righteous Son.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now, if that don't boil your water, your water, your pot's dry. That's just all there is to it. You've got a dry pot. I pray God fills your pot with water. And that message grips your soul. And if it ever does, Joe, if he ever visits you, you won't be able to get away from it.
Exactly.
Well, you might even try, but you won't be able to get away from it. Father, bless us as we continue here. May we have an enjoyable time of not only a fellowship of eating and talking together, but fellowship in your truth, rejoicing in your Son. In Christ's name, amen.